scripture reading this morning comes from 2 Corinthians 11, verses 1 through 4. 2 Corinthians 11, verses 1 through 4. Oh, that you would bear with me in a little folly, and indeed you do bear with me, for I am jealous for you with godly jealousy, for I have betrothed you to one husband, that I may present you as a chaste virgin to Christ. But I fear lest somehow, as the serpent deceived Eve by his craftiness, so your mind may be corrupted from the simplicity that is in Christ. For if he who comes preaches another Jesus, whom we have not preached, or if you receive a different spirit which you have not received, or a different gospel which you have not accepted, you may well put up with it.
Good morning. Good to see you all this morning. As you know, I was away during the week last week, Monday through Friday, in Salina, Tennessee, holding a gospel meeting. It was good to see old friends, and yet kind of sad in a way, a very small and struggling church that seems to get smaller and smaller every time I go back. I go back about every 2 or 3 years, and each time it seems they get smaller. And just to give you an idea of how small, Wednesday night there was only 4 people in the audience. That's how small. It's getting smaller and smaller and smaller. They're dying. A lot of churches in that area, there are many of them. It used to be years ago, every little community had a little church, and they still do. But they ought to combine now. They're getting to the point where they ought to combine. And you know how that is. That's like pulling teeth. They get brethren to get together and work together. But that's something that really needs to happen in that area. But anyway, I was grateful to go and to see those folks and to hopefully give them some material that will help them in their walk with Christ. I appreciate Brother Randy for filling in my absence on Wednesday evening in the Bible study. And I appreciate your prayers on my behalf while I was away. But we're back now together and serving the Lord. And I want to say also to our visitors, we're certainly grateful that you've come our way. We're all busy people, and the fact that you've taken time out of your busy lives, your busy schedule to come and be with us means a lot to us. We appreciate that so much. We appreciate your presence, and we invite your questions and comments. Should you have them, feel free to bring those to our attention. I want to talk to you about our relationship with Jesus Christ. Read with me once again the text that Brother Clarence just read, just to kind of put it back in our minds here. Paul says, "Oh, that you would bear with me in a little folly, and indeed you do bear with me, for I'm jealous for you with godly jealousy, for I have betrothed you to one husband, that I may present you as a chaste virgin to Christ. But I fear, lest somehow, as the serpent deceived Eve by his craftiness, so your minds may be corrupted from the simplicity that's in Christ. For if he who comes preaches another Jesus, whom we've not preached, or if you receive a different spirit, which you've not received, or a different gospel, which you've not accepted, you may well put up with it." I love the way the New King James renders that last phrase in verse 4. Some other translations, they kind of come out a little awkward. But Paul, he said in verse 3, "I'm afraid." And what he's afraid of is what he said at the end of verse 4. "I'm afraid you may well put up with it. These false teachers may infiltrate, and I'm scared to death that you're going to accept what they have to say. And so I'm worried about that." But in this text and several others that we'll look at this morning, the church is pictured as the bride of Christ. Now, let that sink in for just a second. We are not the date of Christ. We are the bride of Christ. The church collectively is considered as one, and that one is married to Jesus Christ. And there is a huge difference in the nature of the two relationships between being married and just dating. Anybody who's been both knows that very well. Someone who's just dated and never been married, they may not realize the full impact of that, but there is a huge difference in the relationship, a dating relationship, and a marriage relationship. A marriage relationship is a commitment with obligations on both parties. It's a lifelong commitment, and so it's a totally different thing. But you know, there's a lot of so-called Christians out there, and I'll just call them that because that's really what they are. They're not really Christians. They're so-called Christians. They call themselves that, but they're just dabblers. They just dabble with a little bit of Jesus. They just want to date Jesus. They just want to have a good time with Jesus. They want what Jesus has to offer, but they don't want any strings attached. And that's why a lot of people are just simply daters. They don't like the strings. They don't want the strings. They don't want the attachment. They don't want the commitment and obligations, but they do want to have a good time with the Lord. They want to be with the Lord, and they want to sort of dabble with it. And so that's the kind of thing we'll be talking about this morning. People who are just simply not serious about their relationship with Jesus Christ. And I think the marriage metaphor is a great way to explore that, and the Scripture kind of plays on that in several places. So the first thing we'll point out here is, and I've already mentioned it, but I want to expand on that, the church is the bride of Christ. In our text, in verse 2 in particular, 2 Corinthians 11, verse 2, Paul says, "I'm jealous for you with godly jealousy, for I betrothed you to one husband." In Bible times, incidentally, just for a little aside, a betrothal was a lot more serious than an engagement. You know, we talk about, well, they got engaged, and he gave her a ring, and he got down on one knee, and he proposed, and everybody just kind of says, oh, isn't that wonderful? But in Bible times, a betrothal was a lot more serious than an engagement. It was almost as serious as the marriage itself. So serious, in fact, that the only way a betrothal could be broken was by a bill of divorcement. Incidentally, that explains Matthew chapter 1. You remember Joseph was betrothed to Mary. And he found out that she was with child, and he's minded to put her away. He hadn't married her yet, but he's minded to put her away privately because that's the only way you could put away or end a betrothal. It was very serious, regarded almost as serious as the marriage itself. So Paul says, I betrothed you. I brought you and Christ together. You ever had somebody maybe bring you and your spouse together? Somebody, I'll tell you who it was with me and Annie. It was Sherry Usley. Some of you know Sherry. It was Sherry Usley that brought the two of us together. And she went out of her way to do so. You know, we walked together at Sherry and Bill's wedding. And she would say, look here at how beautiful Anna is. And look over here. And she had to lie a little bit. She said, how handsome Lanny is. She had to lie a little bit on that one. But it worked because it kind of got us together, you see. But there, Paul says, that's what I did. I got you and Christ together. But there's an obligation here. He says, I want to present you as a chaste virgin to Christ. And that tells us something about this marriage relationship. If we're going to be married to Jesus, we have to be chaste and pure. Not just sexually, but chaste and pure in every way. We need to be moral individuals. We need to live moral lives, chaste lives, pure lives, holy lives, dedicated to Jesus Christ. That's part of this metaphor. This metaphor has wide-reaching implications. And I think that's why the Scripture plays on that so much. And so if we're going to be married to Jesus, then we have to live the life that goes with that. We have to accept the obligations that go with that, purity and holiness, you see. But take your Bibles and flip over to Ephesians 5 and notice another aspect of the marriage relationship. I've told you many times that this text is a twofer, two lessons for the price of one. And he talks about the husband and wife relationship, the marriage relationship, and he likens that to the relationship of Christ and His church. So once again, we're back to that same metaphor of the bride of Christ. In Ephesians 5, verse 22, notice what he says, wives, submit to your own husbands as to the Lord. Now, in this modern day of feminism, many women find that distasteful. But the Lord still said it. The Bible still says it. And you've still got to do it whether you like it or not. That's what the Bible says. So, wives, submit to your husbands as to the Lord. For the husband is the head of the wife as Christ is the head of the church. And He's the Savior of the body. Therefore, just as the church is subject to Christ, so let the wives be to their own husbands in everything. Husbands, love your wives just as Christ loved the church and gave Himself for it. Now, I could read on, but I think I've got enough here to bring out our points. And the point is this, in any marriage relationship, there are roles to play. There is the role of the wife and there is the role of the husband. And the Scripture here brings out both sides. It brings out in the marriage relationship and in the Christ church relationship. And we need to know what our role is. In marriage, a wife needs to know that her role is submissive. Your marriage isn't going to work if you don't know that and if you don't abide by that. And the husband, you need to know that your role is protective, that you are to love your wife and, as I've said so many times, put her on that pedestal. The word agapeo, the word translated love here, is not talking about how you feel about her. It's talking about what you're doing for her. It's an action word. It's something that you show. You put her on a pedestal. You put her needs above your own, you see. And by the way, if you do that, it'd be easy for her to submit to you because she knows you got her back. She knows you're looking out for her. And so it's a complementary. It's not a conflicting relationship, but it's a complementary relationship. And there are obligations. But what we've got to understand is if we're going to be married to Jesus, we've got to know who the husband is. And it ain't us. He's in charge. We're not. Our role is the submissive role. Our role is the lesser role. And so if we're going to have this marriage relationship, we got to know who's who. And Christ is the husband. Christ is the head. Christ is the protector. Christ is the Savior. And we are the submitters. And if you don't know that, you're never going to have a proper marriage to Jesus. It's not going to work out. It's going to wind up in a divorce, if I can just extend the metaphor just a little farther. You're going to end up going your separate ways. Because you can't live with the relationship the way God ordained it. And so it's very important to respect your proper role. Our role as Christians is the role of submissiveness. The church obeys the Lord. Now take your Bibles as we continue on this metaphor and go out to the book of Revelation chapter 19. Revelation chapter 19. And here we see a great celebratory feast. It's time for the wedding feast. You see, there's a marriage and then there's a reception. See, there's two different things, and there's some time that goes between them, especially in biblical times. There may have been quite a bit of time between the two, but there's a marriage and then there's a reception. He brings both into play in this text. And in Revelation chapter 19 and verse 6, he said, "And I heard as it were the voice of a great multitude, the sound of many waters, the sound of mighty thundering, saying, Alleluia! For the Lord God omnipotent reigns. Let us be glad and rejoice and give Him glory, for the marriage of the Lamb has come." Notice the past tense. Has come. "And His wife has made herself ready." She's ready now for the wedding feast. "And to her it was granted to be arrayed in fine linen, clean and bright. For fine linen is the righteous acts of the saints. And He said to me, Write, blessed are those who call to the marriage supper of the Lamb. And He said to me, These are the true sayings of God." He talks about this bride being dressed in fine linen, clean and white. That goes back to the purity we read about in 2 Corinthians 11, the pure, chaste virgin. But here he's talking about, and he defines it further, he says that linen in verse 8 is the righteous acts of the saints. It matters what you do. You can't be married to Jesus and live like the world, rest of the world. You can't do that. There are obligations in a marriage relationship. You can't act like you're single if you're married to Jesus. You have obligations, the righteous acts of the saints. There are things that you must be about doing. You can't just go and live like you did before you got married. Every married person knows that. You know, when you're single, you can go out with your buddies on Friday night and you can have a good time with your buddies on Friday night and play a little bit and do this and do that. When you get married, all that's got to change. You can't keep doing that. You might have a night or two where you both have agreed to where you might do that once in a while. But for the most part, all that's changed now. Now my obligation is to my spouse. And so if you're going to be married to Jesus, you can't go play like you did before you were married to Him. You got to change things. The relationship has changed. You're committed now. And so, again, you see how that metaphor comes up again and again and again. And the last point I want to make here is found in James chapter 4. I'm talking about the last point on number 1 here. The last point in James chapter 4. James is actually still drawing on that metaphor. He doesn't mention marriage, but he does mention adultery. And adultery is a sin against marriage. That's exactly what it is. In adultery, at least one of the parties is married, but they're not married to the person they're having sexual relations with. And so they've gone outside the marriage and had relations with somebody else. And biblically speaking, if we're married to Christ and we go outside of that relationship and do things we shouldn't do, then we're guilty of spiritual adultery. Verses 1 through 4. James says, "Where do wars and fights come from among you? Do they not come from your desires for pleasure that war in your members? You lust, and you do not have." See, all this is part of your old life, by the way, before you got married. "You lust, and you do not have. You murder, and covet, and cannot obtain. You fight, and you war, yet you do not have because you don't ask. You ask, and don't receive because you ask amiss that you may spend it on your pleasure." You see what's going on here? They want to keep living like they did before they got married. They want to keep living out in the world. Well, you've made a commitment now. And notice the result, verse 4. "Adulterers and adulteresses, do you not know that friendship with the world is enmity with God?" You know, once you're married, you can't go out. If you're a man and you're married, you can't go out and be overly friendly with every woman in the country. You just can't do that. You just can't. You're committed. And so friendship with the world is enmity with God. If we're going to be friendly with the world, and we're going to be friendly with Satan, and we're going to be friendly with sin, we're being unfaithful to Christ, the one to whom we're married. And so the Lord demands faithfulness. In fact, many times in the Old Testament, under that same metaphor, the Lord would say, for example, I think Jeremiah 3 and verse 8, I gave her a writing of divorcement. God divorced His people. God divorced His people because they were not faithful to Him. They went out and served idols. They went out and did other things. They went out and became disloyal to the Lord. And so He gave them a writing of divorcement, the Bible tells us. So marriage has serious consequences here. And the church is pictured as the bride of Christ. And just as surely as your marriage to your wife or to your husband has obligations, and you can't live like you were single, and you have certain things that you must do, that must be done, sacrifices that must be made, the same thing is true if you're going to be married to Jesus. You can't be a dabbler. You can't be a once a weeker. You can't be somebody who's half committed. That's not the way marriages work. And the Lord will put you away so quickly your head will spin. And so you've got to understand that. But you know, that's not the reality we see in the world. We look at a lot of people who claim to be Christians, and there are a lot of people who just want casual dates with Jesus. You've heard that expression. Casual, just a casual date. That's the way they are with Jesus. I go see Jesus once in a while, maybe Christmas time. Yeah, we'll pop in the church at Christmas time. Or we'll pop into church at Easter time. I've known people do that. I've known people in my own family to do that. You know, when I was a boy, we went to the Christian church. And I've known people in my own family, they wouldn't set foot inside a church house door until Christmas rolled around. Then all of a sudden, they got religious. Easter rolled around. All of a sudden, they get religious. Well, that's just casual date. You're just messing around. You're not serious. You're not married. You're just dating. And that's not good enough. Or we want to date Jesus when the times get rough. Don't want nothing to do with Him when things are going well. You know, when I'm making good money and I ain't got no sickness and everything's going well at home and everything's going well at work, I don't need Jesus then. But you let me lose my job. Or you let me have a fight with my wife. Or you let one of the kids get in trouble. All of a sudden, where are you, Jesus? I need to go on a date. I need to be with you again, Jesus. And it's just casual, you see. Nothing serious about it. It just, I need Him when I need Him, but otherwise, get out of my life, Lord. Don't need you. Stay away. Stay at arm's distance. You see how people do this? And they just play games with Jesus. Why? Jesus has a decent family. You know, when you date somebody, sometimes you go meet their mama or their daddy, and you meet their family, and you say, she's got nice parents, or he's got nice parents. And that's the way a lot of people are with Jesus. Oh, he got a nice family. Those church folk there, they're real nice. They treat me nice when I come. But, you know, they're a little stifling. I don't want to stay around them too much. So I don't mind seeing them once in a while, once a year, twice a year, maybe three times a year. But they're a little stifling to be around too much. And that's the way people are with their religion. That's the way they treat Jesus. And I want you to understand, the Lord put that metaphor in the Bible for a reason. That metaphor is designed to tell you that this is a serious matter. This is not a casual thing. Christianity is not casual. Christianity is serious business. And if you're going to be a Christian, you need to get down to business and serve the Lord. Be married to Jesus. They have a saying in the South, be a pup or a pig. Be one thing or the other. Be a follower of Christ, be married to Jesus, or just get out there in the world and stay. But don't do this back and forth stuff. This casual dating stuff. And, you know, people who are casual dating somebody, they'll date others. You know, I'll go see Jesus once in a while, but every once in a while I think I'll run down here to the Catholic Church too. Every once in a while I think I'll run down here to the Baptist Church. Every once in a while I might even go into a Jewish synagogue. Every once in a while I might even visit a mosque. And so we dabble. You see, we date this one and we date that one. And we think, well, are they all the same? Well, no, they're not all the same if you're married to this one. If you're married, but no, they're not married. They're just dating. They're not married. They're just dating. And so it doesn't bother them to dabble around with others and to date others and to see this one and to see that one. And then there are Christians who think they can date Jesus and then also date secularism. You know, they want to be spiritual three or four times a year, Christmas and Easter, Mother's Day. When hard times come, But then I also, I kind of like living in the world. And so secularism is the idea that there's no spiritual aspect to our life. Everything is about the here and the now. So secular, that people will dabble in secular, and so they're dating everybody. And they'll date atheism, and they'll date evolutionism, and they'll date this, and they'll date that, and they'll dabble in this, and they'll dabble in that, and sometimes they'll even dabble. I'll dabble in a little bit of alcohol, and I'll dabble in a little bit of cigarettes, I'll dabble in a little bit of drugs, and they're just dating. Date this a while, and date that a while, and mess with this a while, and mess with that a while, and they're just playing. There's no seriousness to it at all. And they'll date Jesus every once in a while, but they're just not committed to Him. Turn your Bibles to Matthew chapter 5. In the Sermon on the Mount, Jesus is laying the groundwork for the kingdom. That's one of the things He's trying to accomplish in this sermon. He's addressing people who are still living under the law, so many of His references will kind of deal with that. But at the same time, He's also laying the groundwork for the kingdom. And He's saying, you know, this actually describes the Pharisees. That's what they were. They were casual daters. They weren't serious. They put on a good show. You know, they had their rituals and they had their fasts. Remember that Pharisee and the publican in that parable in Luke 18? I fast twice a week. I pay tithes of all. And they had these little rituals. You know, I did this and I went to church services and I dropped a little money in the plate. And they casually did. But then they go out and do everything else, you see. And Jesus says something to them in verse 20. He's actually saying it to all of us. But He's bringing up the Pharisees by way of comparison. He said, I say to you, Matthew 5 verse 20, that unless your righteousness exceeds the righteousness of the scribes and the Pharisees, you will by no means enter the kingdom of heaven. You're not going to get married to Jesus unless you do better than that. The Lord ain't going to have you if you're just a dabbler. He's not going to have you if you're just playing around and casually dating this one and casually dating that one. You're going to have to do a whole lot better than a casual date. The Lord will leave you at the altar. He'll just fly the coop and go somewhere else. And all the while you think, Jesus still loves me. No. You walked away from Him, so He walked away from you. And that's the way it shall be. So we have to understand that. But you know, there are a few out there who take this matter just a little bit more seriously. They don't want to casually, you know, I take that a little bit more seriously. They might even date Him regularly. I'll pop in there once a week. Well, I might even pop in twice a week. I might come Sunday night too. But don't ask me to come Wednesday night. Don't ask me to come to the gospel meeting. So they get a little bit more serious, you know. They're not going to pop in just at Christmas time. They'll pop in every week. Or maybe even twice a week, you see. So they're a little bit more serious. Oh, and they love being with His family. Those church folk are nice. And they'll even help me. Every once in a while, I need some help at the house, and all I got to do is call one of those Christians down there, and they'll come right down here and help me. You see what they do? They're a little bit more serious, but they're still not committed to Jesus. They're still playing. But it's a little bit more serious. Why, they might even date Him exclusively. I'll go see Jesus, and I won't go down there to the Catholic Church, and I won't go down there to the Baptist Church, and I won't go down there to the Jewish synagogue, and I won't go down to the Muslim mosque. I'll stick with Jesus, but only on my terms. I'll be serious, a little bit more serious than the dabbler, but still not fully committed. They're still dating, and they still want to do other things. The other day, I was watching television. I think I might have mentioned this in the class one night, but there's a lady on television. She's a news talking head kind of person. And she's very open about her faith. And that's a good thing, by the way. Very open about her faith. But the same lady will turn right around in 5 minutes later and talk about how she likes to drink. And I'm thinking, how do you put those two things together? You think you're going to be married to Jesus, and you think you're serious about Jesus, but you're going to dabble once in a while in sin. See, I can do other things. I'm not married yet. I'm not married yet. So I can date somebody else, or I can dabble in something else. I can do something else. And that usually, in this relationship, that amounts to sin. I got my little pet sin I'm not ready to give up yet. So I'll kind of zero in on Jesus, but every once in a while, when I need a breather, I'll walk away and I'll go get drunk. When I need a breather, I'll walk away and take my drugs. When I need a breather, I'll walk away and see somebody else. That's faking it. You think you're a disciple. You think you're married to Jesus. You think you're in a serious relationship with Jesus. You're just faking it. Turn your Bibles to Matthew chapter 7, still in the Sermon on the Mount. This is at the end. Remember, Matthew 5 was at the beginning of the sermon. Matthew 7, at the end of the sermon. And Jesus would be winding this thing around. I call this the invitation. This is his invitation in the sermon. And he says in verse 21, "Not everybody who says to me, 'Lord, Lord,' will enter the kingdom of heaven, but he who does the will of my Father in heaven. Many will say to me in that day, 'Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in your name, cast out demons in your name, done many wonders in your name?' And I will declare to them, 'I never knew you. Depart from me, you who practice lawlessness.'" You see how they're faking it here in verse 22? "Well, Lord, we prophesy in your name and we cast out demons in your name. We did wonders." Now today we might say something like this: "Lord, I went to church every week. Every Sunday morning I was there. Now I know I wasn't there Sunday night, but you know, I had things to do. But I was there every Sunday. And I dropped my money in the plate just like everybody else. And I sang." You see what they've boiled this down to? A few rituals. And they think that's Christianity. They think that just to go through a few rituals, pop in on Sunday, drop a little money in the plate, sing a couple songs, eat a little cracker and drink a little grape juice and go home, and you can do as you please the rest of the week. They're playing. A little bit more serious. Won't go out and see these others maybe. Won't date these others. A little bit more zeroed in on Jesus. But they're still playing. And the Lord says you got to do better than just faking it. Because on that day, when that day comes, that day, by the way, is that final judgment day when we all stand before the Lord. And many are going to say to me in that day, "I've done this and I've done that." And the Lord will say, "I never knew you. You thought you were committed to me, but I didn't even recognize you. You weren't mine at all. I never knew you." And that simply means I never recognized you as mine. What's the problem here? What's going on? The daters lack true commitment. That's the problem, isn't it? That's what's going on. There's been no commitment. Marriage is a commitment. When you cross that line, when you say "I do," it is done. You've made a commitment, you see. And I think there's some people that are just commitment phobic. We talk about that in the actual literal marriage relationship, don't we? "Well, I sure would like to get married to him, but he's commitment phobic," they'll say. "He just won't commit. He just won't do it. He won't give me that ring." Well, that's the way some people are with Jesus. They're a little commitment phobic. Listen to me. If you want to be a disciple of Jesus, you're going to have to actually marry the guy. Let's get right down to business. Let's just say it like it is. You're going to have to marry the guy. Turn over to Romans chapter 7. You can't just date Jesus. He's not looking for a date. He's not looking for a date. He's looking for a commitment. Turn over to Romans chapter 7, and Paul, he begins by talking about the literal marriage, and then he slips right into this idea of the bride of Christ. Romans 7, verses 1 through 3. "Do you not know, brethren, I speak to those who know the law, that the law has dominion over man as long as he lives. For the woman who has a husband is bound by the law to her husband as long as he lives. But if the husband dies, she's released from the law of her husband. So then, if, while her husband lives, she marries another man, she will be called an adulteress." Why? Because that's what she is. God calls him as he sees him. And so you go out and you commit adultery, you marry somebody else when you still have a spouse, you're an adulteress. But if her husband dies, she's free from that law, so that she's no adulteress, though she's married another man. Verse 4, here's where he brings it into this metaphor right here. "Therefore, brethren, you've become dead to the law of Moses." You can't date Jesus and date Moses. You can't have them both. "You've become dead to the law of Moses through the body of Christ, that you should be married to another, even to him who was raised from the dead." Notice the Bible never says that you should date another. It does. The Lord ain't looking for a date. He's looking for a spouse. He's looking for a companion. He's looking for a commitment. You can't serve Jesus and be commitment phobic. Have a foot in one world and a foot in the other. A foot in the church and a foot in the world. Can't do it. It isn't going to work. And when you think about that marriage commitment, by the way, and every married person knows this, I had a sermon, I don't know, it's been a while now since I preached it, but how to make a marriage last. And the first thing that people have to learn is that a marriage relationship, listen to me very carefully, a marriage relationship is not about your happiness. That's not what it's about. It's about the fact that you've made a commitment in sickness and in health for richer, for poorer, and forsaking all others. Remain true to you as long as we both shall live. Those are the vows you take. You're making a commitment. It isn't about whether you're happy. Sickness, health, richer, poorer. Happy, sad. It isn't about whether you're happy or not. It's about the commitment you made. You said, I do. And so it's no longer about your happy. People say, I just ain't happy. I got to get out of this marriage. I ain't happy. And people say that to Jesus. I ain't happy. I don't like the way they act at church. I don't like the way they treat me at church. I ain't happy. And they walk away. It ain't about your happiness. It ain't about your happiness. It's about making your spouse happy. That's what it's about. Marriage is about making your spouse happy. And if you're making her happy and she's making you happy, and same thing right here, you're making Jesus happy, I guarantee you He'll make you happy. Turn your Bibles to Colossians 1 for this point. Colossians 1, verses 9 and 10 in particular. He says, I can bring in verse 9 for a little context. For this reason, we also, since the day we heard it, don't cease to pray for you. We're praying for you. To ask that you may be filled with the knowledge of His will and all wisdom and spiritual understanding. That you may have a walk worthy of the Lord, fully pleasing Him. Being fruitful in every good work and increasing in the knowledge of God. You see that? Fully pleasing Him. It's not about pleasing self. It's about pleasing the other. It's about pleasing the spouse. And in this metaphor, the spouse is Jesus. It's not about you being happy. It's about Him being happy. It's about doing what He wants and putting Him on the pedestal and making sure He's served. Commitment. Keeping on going with that metaphor. Commitment means denying yourself. When you're in marriage, in a marriage relationship, every married person knows this, you don't always get your way. You just don't. You might be the head of the house, but you still don't always get your way. You just don't. It doesn't work that way. It does not work that way. Luke 9, verse 23. Here's how Jesus puts that. Different metaphor, but the principle is the same. If anyone desires to come after me, in keeping with our metaphor, I just say anyone wants to be married to me. Okay? Anyone desires to come after me, let him deny himself, take up his cross daily, and follow me. It's about commitment. It's about denying yourself. You don't always get your way. Things aren't always going to go in a way that suits you. And the Lord's going to have some things that He requires of you you're not going to like doing, but you got to do it anyway. Why? Because I married Him. Because I made that commitment. That's what it requires. It requires that in your personal marriage, and it requires that in a marriage to Jesus Christ. True commitment means that you got to, in a manner of speaking, hate all the others. Turn to Luke 14. Let me just, while you're turning over there, just to kind of make an application. If you're married and you commit yourself to this woman or to this man, all the other women out there now, They're dead to you, so to speak. You follow me, gentlemen? Ladies, all the other men out there are dead to you. You've committed to this one, you see. That's the idea. And so Jesus is talking about this idea of commitment here. Luke 14, verse 25. Great multitudes went with Him, and He turned and He said, if anyone comes to me and does not hate his father, mother, wife, children, brother and sister, yes, his own life also, he cannot be my disciple. The Lord said, I won't have him. And whoever does not bear his cross, and there's that cross again, and come after me, cannot be my disciple. For which of you intending to build a tower does not sit down first and count the cost, whether he has enough to finish it, lest after he's laid the foundation, he's not able to finish it, and all who see it begin to mock him, saying, this man began to build and was not able to finish. You better count the cost. When you think about a literal marriage, you think about that too, don't you? Can I live with the fact that I'm going to be waking up looking at this woman every day for the rest of my life, or this man every day for the rest of my life? I'm going to see him or her at her worst, and I'm going to see him or her at their best. I'm going to see him or her when they look their best. I'm going to see him or her when they look their worst. And they get up in the morning and their hair's sticking straight up, and their beard's laid sideways, and their makeup's rubbed off, and all of that stuff. You see it all. You see the bad and you see the good. And same thing here. Same thing. You better count the cost. You better count the cost. And all the rivals, they fade into the background. Not going to be lulled away into denominationalism. Not going to be lulled away into secularism. Not going to be lulled away into atheism. Not going to be lulled away into Islam. Not going to be lulled away into Judaism. I've made my commitment. And I'm going to stick with it, you see. Jesus Christ is looking for a lifelong marriage partner. Jesus Christ is not looking for a date. But sadly, as I said at the beginning, a lot of people are just the opposite. Humanity is just the opposite. A lot of people don't want the lifelong commitment. They just want the date. They just want to have a good time with Jesus. They want what Jesus has to offer, forgiveness of sins and hope of heaven, but they don't want any strings attached. Well, you can't be married to Jesus without strings being attached. Marriage itself is an attachment. It is an attachment. And you can't have a relationship with Jesus on your terms. You have to have a relationship with Jesus on His terms. He's the husband. He's the head. Now, if you're here this morning and you'd like to make that commitment to Jesus, there's actually a little ceremony. Did you know that? There sure is. You know, when you get married in the physical realm, when you marry your spouse, there's a little ceremony. A lot of symbolism to that, by the way. I was kind of thinking about that a little bit this morning. Didn't have time to develop it, but you know, you think about the wedding ceremony, the groom comes in and the bride comes in. They come in separately. The groom comes in with his part. Bride comes in separately. They walk out together. A little ceremony takes place. Joins them together. They come in separately. They walk out together. And there's a symbolism there. Well, there's a commitment ceremony to Jesus in Romans chapter 6. Romans chapter 6, verses 1 through 4. Conversion, baptism, that's your commitment ceremony. What shall we say then? Shall we continue in sin that grace might abound? Can we dabble? Can we just date? Certainly not, verse 2. How shall we who died to sin live any longer in it? We've made a commitment. Or do you not know that as many of us as were baptized into Christ Jesus were baptized into His death? Therefore, we are buried with Him through baptism into death, that just as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also should walk in newness of life. For if we have been united together in the likeness of His death, certainly we shall be in the likeness of His resurrection. You came in separate. But when you commit to Jesus, when you're baptized into Christ, you walk out together. Committed for your life. We're ready to help you with that this morning. I hope you're willing to make the commitment. I hope you're not sitting out there thinking still that you can be a dabbler, because the truth is you can't. Commit yourself to Christ. The blessings far outweigh any sacrifices that you might have to make. The blessings include forgiveness of sins. The blessings include hope of everlasting life. The blessings include anytime you need Jesus, day or night, you can call on Him and He's right there in prayer. The blessings are innumerable. Spiritual blessings in Christ Jesus. It's our hope and prayer that you'll make that commitment to this morning. And if we can help you, please come right now while we stand and while we sing.